Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, while you're turning there, I'm going to, as I announced last Wednesday, preach both messages out of this chapter. This is the parable of the prodigal son. I guess it's closely revealing to my heart as a word of testimony. I can enter into this, and I know many of you can also. Our blessed Lord taught in parables. And this particular parable, I pray that God speak to our hearts. May the Lord speak. May God bless this word. I pray that the Lord blesses this word today in the calling out of sinners. I pray that the fruit of His word might be that sinners are brought to light. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to begin in verse 11 in a moment, but just before our Lord started this parable of the prodigal son, He spoke of a blessed truth. He first said it in verse 7, then He repeated it in verse 10, and it was spoken right at the end of a series, two parables that He had revealed. One concerning a lost sheep, and the second concerning a lost coin. But He made this statement in verse 10. He said, "Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." That understands, that thinks differently, that reconsiders his need of Christ. Now, we'd never know that if the Lord didn't tell us that. Angels that always behold the face of the Father, particular angels, assigned according to Matthew 18:10. You go back and read that. I won't make all, for sake of time, but angels in particular that are assigned to God's elect, that always behold the face of the Father, Matthew 18:10. Ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's Hebrews 1:14. When Almighty God calls a sinner, an object of His mercy, out of darkness, grants repentance, gives them faith to believe, calls them by His grace, angels who have been directed to minister to. I looked that up. To serve, to attend to the needs of, to aid, to wait upon like a waiter at a restaurant, to minister to. And finally, at the appointed time of that believer's departure, to actually carry them into the very presence of God. Luke 16:22. These angels rejoice in heaven when one sinner repents by the grace of God. Well, with this blessed truth in mind, I'd like for us to consider this son, this prodigal son. Consider the glorious message of preservation, regeneration, reconciliation for all that the Father has everlastingly loved. Verse 11, Luke 15, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now I want you to notice that both were sons. Both of them were sons. Here we see that all men, all women, belong to Almighty God. Two sons, certain man. Picturing, no doubt, that some are sons according to God's eternal mercy. Some are sons only in creation. But the Scripture sets forth, behold, Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All men, all women, belong to Almighty God. Some are objects of His mercy, that He might make known the riches of His glory. Some are sons in whom He's going to show His wrath and His justice because of their rebellion. But you rest assured, all are His. And He's going to be glorified in all men. Now the Son, according to grace, the younger son, he exhibited the natural bent of every man born in Adam. Verses 12 and 13 says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them, both of them, his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Before that younger son was called out of darkness, and you know the story well enough to know that he's going to be, before he knew anything of his father's mercy and compassion, he was in darkness, spiritual darkness. But this is what he asked. He said, I want the portion of goods that belongs to me. Now, that portion, this is an amazing thing. Now, he was the younger of the two, and you know that the elder, according to the law, always got everything. But obviously this parable right here shows that all men, that the Lord has given all men something. There's a portion. All men enjoy the good things of this world. That sun, we're not looking at it right now, but I know it's there. I can see. The rain that falls, food, raiment, temporal health. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and the unjust. Psalm 115:16 says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of man. That younger son took all that he had, and the Scripture says he went off into a far country. There's man's fall, separated from God. The Scripture says he took it, riotous living, wasted that substance. This is what every man in Adam does. Every man, every woman born in Adam left to themselves in their unbelief, they get up every morning, they go about their day reaping the benefits of God's earth. That breath of air you just took, that's God's air. That breakfast you ate this morning, that's God's food. Those clothes you have on, you said, I bought those. Almighty God gave you the ability to buy that. Men walk around and they have absolutely no regard for God's goodness, for God's mercy. No thoughts of thankfulness. No thoughts of appreciation. Every man, every woman that's born in Adam, with no knowledge of God, all they're doing is taking the portion that Almighty God has temporarily allowed them to have, and they just wasted it. I don't appreciate what you've done for me. Somebody say, well, I've never said that. Yes, we have in our heart. That's exactly. Man's fall in the garden left him with total disrespect for Almighty God and total thoughtlessness for his eternal soul. No thought, no regard for the penalty of his disobedience. No thought that he's going to meet God. And he has just wasted what Almighty God has graciously allowed him to have. By the grace of God that we even got up this morning. That we can even think, he hath made us, we're not ourselves. What do I have to glory in? Well, verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. Here is the just penalty of man's rebellion. This is exactly what man deserves. He's shown no appreciation for God's goodness, no appreciation for God's mercy, no appreciation for God's gifts. He's bankrupt. It's famine. Oh, but in the midst of God's righteous justice and judgment upon this earth, by the grace of God, even in wrath, God, for the objects of His mercy, remembers mercy. Not only do I see the justice of Almighty God, I see prevenient grace. Grace before grace. God's grace before He's ever called out. Almighty God is merciful because He's always looked upon the objects of His mercy in His Son. They've never been under His wrath. You say, yeah, but that's a famine. That's right. And Almighty God, who has always known where His sheep are because He alone rules and reigns, it was by predestinating grace that every object of His mercy was found where they were. He orders their steps, predestinated their end. Put them. Why were you where you were when God called you by His grace? Well, I was just lucky, I guess. You know that luck doesn't have anything to do with it. Luck. He who rules and reigns in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, no such thing as luck. Almighty God does all things well. All things work together for good to them that love God, that know Him, and called out of darkness and who are the called according to His purpose. These are my sons. These are my daughters. And Almighty God raises up nations and He abases nations. He does as He will. And the honoring of His Son and the calling out of His elect. Oh, that we might be taught that every situation in our life, you know why you're going through this famine right now? You want to know why you're going through this trial right now? Well, for you that know Him, it's for your good, His glory. For those that Almighty God leaves for Himself, God's preaching, telling you, your rebellion's not going to go unpunished. Every event in this world is ordered by God Almighty. God does all things. You say, all things? He worketh all things. Now, He may use the devil to accomplish it. But I'm telling you, Almighty God does all things. He rules. He reigns. And in wisdom beyond our comprehension, He's going to bring His elect to Himself, doing just exactly what He wants to do. It was this boy. He done spent everything he had. And I doubt not that this young man right here began to feel bad about it. I'm sure he got to thinking about it. I wasn't very sensitive to my daddy. He done spent all of his money on riotous living. And the latter part of this chapter right here reveals, his brother says, just spent it on harlots. And now he begins to feel bad. He's in want. His conscience starts bothering him now. Oh, you know what? I know this. Every man's got a conscience. Scripture reveals that everybody knows right from wrong. This boy gets to thinking, I've been wrong. You know what I need to do? I need to straighten up and fly right. Maybe I need to turn over a new leaf. I need to get back and do the right thing. When man gets in trouble, first thing he thinks of, I need to make change. I need to do better than what I'm doing. I hadn't been very right about this. But he has no knowledge of true righteousness. He has no knowledge of true repentance. Why? Because he's dead. He's dead. Got a conscience. He understands, but he's blind. He's spiritually blind, spiritually naked. But he's got to do something. Going to do something. Verse 15 says he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, in context of this parable, I know this, that we see that man has got a will, he's got a desire to provide for his own need. I know that. And that citizen right there, now remember, there's a famine going on. But here's a citizen of that country, one that this younger son seems to think can provide some assistance in the midst of this famine. He's got a dry emptiness in his soul. And I need to do the right thing. I'm going to have to quench I'm going to have to appease my conscience. I'm going to have to do better. I need a solution to this thing. This citizen who could picture anyone that the carnal man might trust to meet his temporal needs is surely also a representation of false religion. Why? Because of what he did. Remember now, our Lord is setting forth a parable and is teaching these Jews that are listening to him the truth of him drawing his own back to himself. Lost sheep, lost coin, prodigal son. This boy needed to straighten up. I'm going to get in church. I'm going to do the right thing. And I ain't going to act like this no more. And this boy went to this citizen. That citizen, first thing he did, sent him into his fields to feed swine. He gave that young boy a job. You got to make your own way, boy. If you're going to have any security, if you want to live, you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to do something if you're going to have any life. But look what he was responsible for. And remember, our Lord speaking to Jews. Now those that considered swine to be what the law called them, unclean. And this citizen sent this boy to pasture, to keep that which was unclean, rejected. And this boy went out there, and he's feeding those hogs. And I'm telling you, in his mind, I'm earning my way. I'm doing the right thing. I'm out here feeding these pigs. And I'm telling you, he was loving it. He was loving it. He was in hog heaven. To him, he could not have been in a better place. He said, I've never heard it just like that. This is what he's saying. The scripture says, verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. You know what fain means? Joyfully. He set his heart upon. He longed for. He lusted after. He enjoyed the swine flu food. He enjoyed those husks. Do you know what husks are? I looked it up. The pod or the fruit of the carob tree. You know what carob is? It's just exactly what you think it is. It's that which we have today as the healthy substitute for chocolate. The carob, the fruit of the pod. It's a pod that can be, it's like a big bean, and inside it's got a fleshy, sweet, pulpy fruit. And it tasted good. That's got a sweet taste. And it was used to fatten swine. That's what the purpose of it was. Back in this time when our Lord was giving this parable. And that boy was out there. Here's a perfect picture. Now here's a boy earning his own way. He's out there feeding swine. And I'm telling you, these swine are eating the fruit of the carob tree. A sweet pulpy husk is what it's called. always had my in my mind, I always had it like corn shucks. That's what I always thought. I mean, husk is what it says. When you look it up, it's the fruit of the carob tree. And those hogs were just eating it up. And that boy looked at it, and that's what he wanted. This is good stuff. I'm loving this. You get a man, a woman, in false religion. Now, I've been there. Many of you have. And I'm telling you, that stuff's good. Why? Because I'm doing it. And I'm worthy. And I'm faithful. And I've done this and I've done that. I've done many wonderful things. I've cast out devils in your name and done many mighty works in your name. And he was just hungering and enjoying and feasting on hog food. That young man, to him, it can't get any better than this. There ain't no way it's going to get any better than this. Those that trust in themselves, that they're righteous, that false gospel, that free will, man-centered, self-righteous lie against God. This is what they say. This is the best food I've ever had. I love this. Well, this is sweet. False religion is hog food. Swine food. Everything that exalts me, draws attention to me. All these crowns that I'm earning. Man attempts to quiet his conscience with self-righteous performances. Laboring hard. Winning souls. Man, you don't have any idea how many souls I thought that I won. This son feigned. He would feign. He just, I can't get enough of this. I love this stuff. And no man gave unto him. In his mind, no man could give to him. Are you talking to me? You telling me that I don't know it all? You telling me that what I'm doing here is not the right thing? I'm out here working. I'm out here doing. And this stuff that I'm eating, I've tasted it. It's good. It tastes good. It's sweet. Here this boy was. He was spiritually broke. And thought himself rich. This boy was setting forth the truth of being naked. And he loved those filthy rags. Check this coat out. You look what I got on. And verse 17 says, and when he came to himself. Oh, that's an expression that is used when one is in a state of madness. When a sound mind returns. When old Nicodemus, I couldn't think of a better scripture set forth. It was Nicodemus that had, got out there on that balcony, looked out over Babylon, and he said, wow. Look at this great Babylon that I built. And while the words was in his mouth, God took his mind from him. And 7 years, that king that had just done so many things, he went out there and grazed like an animal. And after 7 years, God gave his mind back. And he said, I extolled the Lord. In the army of heaven, he rules. The inhabitants of the earth, he rules. Nobody That's what it means to come to yourself. Scripture doesn't reveal that that young man did anything to give himself a sound mind. States that something happened to him in the time or during the time of his madness. He came to himself. Something happened in the midst of his rebellion that could only be explained by sovereign grace. God's mercy. That boy had a mind now that was different. He came to himself. Paul the Apostle, surely referring to his encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, he said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Oh, in the day of God's power, for every object of God's mercy, something happens that can only be explained as a miracle. He came to Himself. Oh, Lord God of heaven, may You be pleased today to give sinners a new heart. Cause them, Lord, by Your grace, to come to themselves. For Christ's sake, Amen.